Well, good morning. It's been a good full morning. The funny thing about the Holy Spirit, though, is you might say, oh, I feel full. And the Lord's like, no, I got some more for you. Because, you know, he likes to overflow. Do you know why he likes to overflow? He fills up everything you need, and then it just overflows because he wants it to splash onto other people. That's the whole idea of overflow. So, okay, so as you know, if most of you were here last week, we started in the series of the book of John. And Russ started us off with the first 18 verses. And now I'm going to take off from there, from the next, from 19 to 34. So if you want to get out your word, if you want, we're going to have it up on the front here. The title of my message is Behold the Lamb of God. Do we all know who said that? Kind of gave you a sneak there, probably in the book of John. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're actually going to take some time to look at John. And you might be saying, I thought we were all about Jesus and we're supposed to talk about Jesus. Why are we looking at John? Well, that's a good question. John was an amazing guy. And we can learn from him because John was all about Jesus. That's what he was. He didn't exist for one reason and one reason alone, and that was to proclaim who Christ was. And we can take a look at him and learn some valuable things. So the first thing we're going to do is we're actually going to just, I'm going to read through the verse. So we have it up there. If you can see that, it's kind of small. Okay, let's go. Verse 19. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they said to him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing? If you are neither Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the straps of whom sandals I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I was baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. That's pretty plain. This is the Son of God. So I'm going to take the next few minutes and I'm going to answer two questions. I know you don't have any questions, but you might. Reading that scripture, some questions might come up. And I'm going to go through two questions. The first question we're going to deal with is, who is this John? So let's just dive into that first, and then we'll deal with the second question after. So, who is this John? Well, in a practical sense, we know from, so there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we can get different parts of information about John. Some of it's in this book of John, but some of it's in other books. And we can see back, if you look in the beginning of the book of Luke, you can hear the beginning stories of John, like where he came from. So there were, he was the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were people up in the years, didn't have kids. And Zechariah was a priest. And the one day he went into the temple, he was doing the sacrifice of incense. And Gabriel appears to him, tells him that he's going to have a son. And he doesn't really believe it. So then he loses his voice because he didn't believe. And he couldn't speak until John came, you know, for like 9 months probably. And it's an incredible showing who this guy was. Like, why was there so much information given to know about them? But that's a practical side of John, okay? So that's where we know physically where he came from. But it's interesting that he said, when we think about who was John, he was making it very clear in the verses we just read. He said, I'm not the Messiah, right? I'm not Elijah, and I'm not a prophet. He was very clearly trying to not put any attention on himself. You see that? That saying, don't shoot the messenger? Well, he had a different message. He said, don't lift up the messenger, right? He was getting people drawn to him, but he was like, this isn't about me. The focus isn't supposed to be on me. I'm not who you think I am. And he was constantly turning the focus away from him. He didn't want the focus on himself. He came to prepare a way. That's what his focus was. That's what he was about. He was about preparing a way. Now, I have a funny joke, and some of you might know. Funny joke about me. I like to make words. I made up a word. So I'll share it with you. So John is preparing the way, right? So John is a preparer. Do you like that? There it is. I know I'm making my daughter, who's an English major, shrink every time I make up a word. But you know what I found out? When you make up a word, you get to choose how to spell it. So I just wanted to clarify, this is how you spell preparer. That's who John was. He was a preparer. Okay, so what else did John say about him? We're still trying to figure out what John was, right? Who he was. What did he say of himself? Finally, when they pressured him, right? I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. Then he says this thing about crying in the wilderness, right? What was that about? Well, he's actually quoting from Isaiah, it said, right? Well, that verse, we're going to take a look at it. It's in Isaiah 40. And to give you a little bit of context, it's at the time when the Israelites had been taken away, right? They're in Babylon. And God was speaking through Isaiah, and he says this verse. We'll read these verses in Isaiah 40, 3-5. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall be made level, and rough places made plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So what is this saying? It's saying God is preparing a way. If there's anything hidden up high in a mountain or down in a valley or rough terrain or you're not understanding, no, God's saying, I'm coming in, and I'm coming in, and I'm making it clear, plain, and simple. I'm setting it out. And this is what John was saying, just like Isaiah. He says, he probably saw it, right? He's like, man, I'm doing the same thing Isaiah was doing, right? I'm proclaiming that there's a clear and present way. Let's open it up. God wants to make this clear and visible to everyone. No misunderstandings, just open to everyone. That's what he was about. He was making it clear. And then what does he say? He says, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Now, this isn't John trying to be humble. This is John trying to show how great this person beside him is. He wasn't about starting a ministry, right? He wasn't getting something together. I mean, he wore camel's hair, ate locusts and wild honey. I mean, that kind of gives you a picture of, almost seems like he's a little bit wild and crazy. Kind of drawing attention to himself, right? This guy's really standing out. And he is. He's bringing attention to himself, but not for himself, right? It was bringing attention to God. So who else was he? Well, we know he was the baptizer, right? Baptizing in the water of repentance. This is an interesting thing. He's preparing people to repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn away things. There's someone coming. You need to hear him. You need to prepare yourself. He is the preparer, right? Yes, he's the preparer. You'll get it. It's okay. Okay. That's question number one. Now we're going to go on to question number two. So we know who he was, right? Here's number question two. What was his purpose? What was his purpose? Well, I think a good place to start in answering that question is, like I was saying, remember there's different accounts of John in some of the other Gospels. So we're going to take a peek at another one, and I'm going to give you the words from Gabriel, okay? So if we go over to Luke chapter 1, verses 15 and 17, so this is what I was telling before, give you the context. Zechariah is in the temple. Gabriel's there talking to him. This is what Gabriel says. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. He was a preparer. So why is this important? Why did Jesus need someone to prepare his way? Did you ever think about that? What's the whole purpose of this? I mean, Jesus is perfect. Why does he need someone to go before him? Well, sometimes our hearts can't receive from God. Sometimes we're in the wrong position. Sometimes we have stuff covering our hearts. Sometimes we have issues that need to be dealt, things that need to be moved out of the way. You think about your heart as a table like this. We put stuff on our table. Experiences of life, could be hurts, could be misunderstandings, could be truths, could be all, whatever. We put stuff on our heart. This is our heart, okay? But then God wants to come in, and there's only so much room on your heart. And God sometimes needs to do something, change something, take something off, and move it so that you can have your heart positioned to hear from God. I'll give you an example. Some of you have heard this story, I think a few, but many of you have not. There was a time when I was 17, 18. I was part of a team of four guys. We were going to Thailand to scout out the land because one of the guys on our team was going to go there and be a missionary. He's been there now for 30, almost 40 years. But back then, this is the scouting trip, okay? And Alan Bay asked me to come on the trip, but he said, I don't want you just to come because I say so. I want you to pray and ask, you need to hear from God that you are supposed to come on this trip. And I said, okay, I will. So I went away praying, nothing. Months went by, and I'm getting really stressed, you know, and worried. And I remember one night I went out into a field, a big soccer field, and I was almost determined. I was like, okay, I'm going to just walk this field around this track until I hear something. So I went out there and I just started walking this track. And I was just like, Lord, I need to hear from you. And it took a while. I was there a while. And then I remember the Lord speaking to me. And I felt in my heart that he said he wanted me to go on this trip, but there are some things that were going to happen that if I went through them well, then I would go on this trip. And I thought that was kind of vague, but I didn't really know what that meant. Well, as it been, with so then I left there. And then within a week, I have to give you a little background. At that time, I was not finished high school yet, and I was doing it correspondently, okay? I was doing it from home. I had all my work and stuff, and it was very hard to be disciplined to just sit there and do your work. There were so many other things to do and things to be a part of. I was very involved in the church. I was almost at the church every night. We had a big church of 400 people, and there's lots of programs, and there's Bible teaching Tuesday night, Wednesday night was home group, Thursday night was this, Friday night was that, Saturday night, I was busy. And my mom was trying to tell me, you need to spend more time on your studies to get your schoolwork done. And I was like, Mom, you don't realize all that God's doing here. You know, and I was like, I'm doing stuff, you know, working in the kingdom, and I was just all this kind of stuff. And interesting enough, Alan Bay came to my house. He wanted to visit me and my mom. We're sitting at the kitchen table, and he turns to me, and he's a good friend of mine. He turns to me, and he says, I think you are not honoring your mother. You're disrespecting her, and you need to follow her lead. And I just went, I just fell under the table. I just shrunk under the table. But I responded. I did. I responded, and I said yes, and I submitted to my mother, and I cut off a lot of the stuff I was doing, and I did what she told me to do. This was the thing that God was saying. I needed to reposition my heart. There were some things that needed to, there was a high mountain in me that needed to come down, right? God was working on this high mountain, brought it down. Then I was able to go to Thailand and actually be used and do stuff. This is what I'm talking about. This is what John's doing. He's preparing the people. Jesus is coming. You don't want to miss that train, right? He's like preparing the way. So what was another purpose of him? He was the preparer. But he was also, like I said before, his purpose was to baptize with water for repentance. This is interesting. Water for repentance. We don't do that now, but he was specifically doing water for repentance. So he's out there naming it out. He's naming off the bad stuff. You guys are a bunch of, look at the stuff you do. This is not right. You're not living with your wife. You're doing this. You're stealing. You're a thief. He's naming it off, right? He's not making friends, but people are turning, right? People are turning, and they're coming, confessing their sins, it said, and having this water of baptism. It made me think of something, too. If you ever thought of a seed, I was going to bring a seed, so I don't have one, but imagine if I had a seed, any kind of seed, okay, just here on the desk. Do you know one of the first things the seed needs before it's ever going to become more than a seed? Moisture. It needs moisture. Softens the shell, brokens it up, and it starts the, there's a fancy name for it. Yep, no, there's even a better word. It starts with a B. Anyway, there's all this stuff that happens. But you know, it's the water. It's cool. I just thought that's kind of cool. And here he is baptizing with water. It's kind of a symbol of, you know, God purifying, softening people's hearts, preparing hearts, right, to be in a position where they could receive from Christ. I think that's pretty interesting. So something else I want you to think of that you might not have thought of about his purpose. His purpose also was to show that Jesus was coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, why do I say that? I'm glad you asked. Now, remember I was saying how John's account is shown in many of the Gospels. We're going to go to another account where we see John. It's in, let's go to Mark this time. Mark in the first chapter, verses 4 to 8. I want you to hear this account. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair. I thought that was interesting. I have to stop there. He was clothed with camel hair. Camel hair. Not camel skin. What does that look like? I thought that was kind of funny. He's clothed in camel hair. I don't know. I looked at several verses. It says camel hair. I don't know how you, I don't know, some seamstress here. Maybe Angela knows how they work with camel hair. Anyway, okay, so he's clothed with camel hair, wore a leather belt around his waist, ate locusts and honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down untie. We've heard that before. Then listen to this line, verse 8. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've been around circles. I've been around circles of Christians that sometimes think of the time of the Bible, the time of Acts. And this was a time when, yes, you saw the Holy Spirit working, but it was kind of like just there. It wasn't something that, wasn't for everyone. Just kind of, it was a special thing that hit the apostles maybe and a few others. But look at this. Who is John talking to? It says that all of Judea and all of Jerusalem were coming down to be baptized. There's a pile of people come down to the river, right? This is a pile of people. And what is he saying to them? I baptize you with water, but there's one who's baptized you with the Holy Spirit. Who? Everybody. This is something for everybody. This is what John was proclaiming. We were talking about it and experiencing it today in our meeting, weren't we? God was speaking. God wanted to touch people and move in people's hearts, right? This is what God's doing. Okay. So now that we have a good idea, we've answered those two questions, right? We know who John is. We know what he was about. I'm going to leave you with two challenges today. First challenge I want you to think of, to consider for some of you. Maybe one of these challenges will be for you. Maybe both will be for you. I'm not sure. The first one I want you to consider is John's message is also for us today. Like Jesus came, but he's still coming. Do you know what I mean? He's still coming to people's hearts. And so if there's someone here that hasn't received Christ, the message is the same. Come, repent. We need to repent. We need to surrender our lives. We need to prepare our hearts to receive from the Lord. All of us need that. And if, like I'm sure most people here have done that once before, still, there's still a life walking of repentance. There still is a journey that we walk of surrender, that we continually surrender to God. We continually ask for forgiveness because we are continually repositioning our hearts to receive from the Lord. Even today, God was working, preparing people's hearts, churning people's hearts. Why? Because God wants to help us. You know, just like we had the distractions today, right? There was some technical disaster, a stupid phone went off. Stuff like that happens all the time. It's going to happen from now till next Sunday. You're going to have lots of distractions in your life. It's a normal thing that's going to happen. But what are we going to do about it? Are we going to let those distractions keep us away from receiving what Christ would want us to be a part of and what to hear and stuff? So we have to be diligent. You know, it was kind of hard there for a minute when the music stopped. Okay, keep singing the song, trying to catch the song. We're trying to stay with it, right? We got through it. We did okay. But it's the way we got to do it in life. It's that way. Stuff hits my daughter's car is on the side of the highway right now, up by Leduc. I have to go get it off. It broke down. It's a distraction. It's not helpful, you know? But am I going to let it get in the way of what Christ is doing and asking and preparing my heart and he wants to move in my life? I don't. I have to keep those things. Like Bible was saying, keep the sail. Focus on the sail. Realigning the sail. These things are not to be distracting me. They are intentional. I bet you half of them are purposely intentional from a dark side of this world to try and keep you away. That's all the enemy The enemy doesn't need you to go and start worshiping Satan and doing all these kind of weird things. He just needs you to do nothing. He just needs you to miss the amazing blessing that God wants you to. He just needs you to miss that. Just distract you a little bit. That's right. We heard that on Wednesday night from Tyrell, right? Distraction. Right? Distraction leads to destruction. So my challenge to us today, to all of us, is that John's message is for us today. Whether it's your first time or it's the 100th time, there is a response of surrender, that we surrender to Christ. Amen? So I want you to think about that for a minute. Life of surrender. Now, the second challenge I have for you today is we are to be the John of today. We are John's for our day and age. That's what we are called to be like. There is still a message to be proclaimed. There still is words to be spoken to prepare people's hearts so that they can receive. There still is a lost world. Jesus is still coming to reach broken people. And we play a part. We are to be the Johns of this year, of this time in life. This is why we're here. If you're alive, that's part of our commission. That's part of what we're supposed to be about. So let's take a quick look at John, what we can learn from his things that we just looked over. Well, we noticed that John was, he was willing to be noticed, right? He was willing to be noticed. I mean, sometimes we just kind of, I'm just going to go to my little church meeting, and then I'm going to go over here, and I'm not going to make a fuss. I'm not going to say anything in crowds or anything like that. I'm going to keep, but there is a place sometimes and a place for us to speak up, for us to say something. We notice clearly, too, that John said it's not about him, right? He was willing to look foolish. But John made it clear who the Lamb of God was, didn't he? And that's what we need to resonate in our lives, that we make it clear. And he wasn't about taking any credit for himself, was he? I want you to think about it in a different way. Think about this in a different way. Imagine the place that you work, or people here that are in school. Imagine if Jesus worked where you worked. Okay. Now, I don't mean he's setting up, he's preaching and having people come. Imagine he's just sitting at the next desk, doing the job you do, interacting with your boss, interacting with the people. Or if he's in your school, he's taking the course you're taking. He's in the class. He's sitting in the desk next to you. He's doing his studies. Imagine if it was Jesus there. How would he talk to the teacher? How would he address his studies? How would he converse with people around him? Think about it if you're not in school or you don't have a job like that. Wherever, you're in the grocery store. Think about Jesus just being in the grocery store, right? He's just getting groceries. You're just interacting with people. That's how we should be. How Christ would be. Now, if that makes you go, whoa, that's a tall order. Exactly. Exactly. It's not meant to be done on our own. That's the whole idea of being filled. We need the Holy Spirit. We cannot portray Christ properly. We're broken vessels. We stumble and, it's by Him. It's in our weakness that God goes, how do you have a smile on your face? Well, all the struggles you have and all the things, we'd be a testimony to Christ and people to go, wow, I don't know why you even have hope. Like, the struggles and things you're facing in your life, and it's like, because it's not about that. There's something else going on. It's the Holy Spirit, right? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not one time, all the time. Continually. And so these are my two challenges for you. Now, maybe the first challenge, right, is to receive the message that John was speaking. It's still today, that we need to repent, that we need to surrender. And if that's you, then I want to pray for you guys. And maybe the second challenge is for you. You realize that you are called to be a John. And that seems way underqualified to do such a thing. I am. that's where we lean on the Holy Spirit, right? He doesn't want us to do anything on our own. That's the whole point. So if you would like, I'm gonna pray for these two areas. And if you, I'm not asking anybody up front. I would just ask that you stand. If you stand for one of these two reasons, these two challenges, then I just want to pray for you guys. So just go ahead and stand up. If the first challenge is for you, or the second challenge is for you, I just want to take a moment and pray for us. So first I'm going to deal with the, I'm going to pray for these things separately. First thing I'm going to do is pray about the first one. So Lord, we just acknowledge and see that you do want to work in our hearts, and that the message of John is a message for us today. Lord, that you want our hearts to be repentive before you. Lord, help us, Lord. Reveal the things that are not right in our hearts. Help us to be able to come with a heart of surrender. Help us to be humble. Help us to let go. And Lord, I pray right now that you would even expose things that we don't even realize, where we have a hard heart towards someone, or bitterness of something, and Lord, you want us to be free. You want us to let go of those things and work in our lives. But we have things that's in the way. And we need to be willing to let our hearts be prepared on so that you could work. So Lord, I pray right now that you would be working on our hearts. And everyone here, that we would be realizing that if we want Christ in our lives moving in a greater way, then maybe there's some things that need to shift. Maybe there's some things that we need to look at and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me. Help me to deal with these areas in my life. Help me to move. Lord, I don't want to hinder. I don't want to hinder you coming to me. I don't want to hinder you working in my heart, because I have things in the way. Help me to be humble. Help me to be surrendering, Lord. Lord, I just pray for a spirit of surrender that would be on all of us, Lord Jesus, right now. Lord, we surrender ourselves again. Most of us have surrendered our lives, but Lord, we surrender again. Lord, we need you. It doesn't work good when we do it on our own. Lord, we need you. And Lord, then I pray also for ones of us that are feeling stirred and compelled and realizing that we have the same commission that John had. That we are to be speaking about the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be more like John. So that we wouldn't be in it for ourselves. That we wouldn't be trying to gain any attention. That we're not lifting ourselves up, but we're just pointing to you. We're humble, maybe a little wild and crazy. Lord, help us to be brave, to speak up when it's time to speak up, Lord Jesus. Help us to see, oh God, that we don't have to do it on our own, but Lord, that you've come to fill us with your Holy Spirit. So I pray right now, Lord, a special pouring out, Holy Spirit, right now, and every heart that's open to receive. Lord, right now, I just pray for a special pouring out of your Spirit in Jesus' name, to make it through this day, to make it through this week. Holy Spirit, equip us, Lord. We recognize, Lord, that we need you. Lord, we can't do this on our own, but we understand we're not supposed to. And we turn to you, Jesus. We come to you, Lord. We lay down everything, Jesus. And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Move in my life, Lord Jesus. I will be your servant. I will be your ambassador. I will speak on your behalf. I will shine the way you want me to shine, wherever you have me to shine. And I realize that I am where I am by no mistake. To be a part of this family and to be in the workplace I'm in, to be in this, the rubbing shoulders with the students I rub shoulders with, and all the different influences I have, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you would give me the strength to shine your light. to shine you well, Lord Jesus. Even that's even showing my weaknesses, because it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. And Lord, I just pray into what Bio shared. Lord, help us this week. Help us this week, Lord, to not forget that picture of the sail. Lord, we don't want to miss the wind. We don't want to miss you, Jesus. We want to be what you're doing. We want to be about what you're about. Lord, that's the only place to be. So I ask you to equip us all and be with us all this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you to Maureen and Josephine and Samuel for the worship. And thanks to all.